This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Friday the 3rd of May. In your Squiz today, tensions flare at US colleges, domestic violence advocates demand more, the Solomon Islands has a new PM, and we're ready for our close-up. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, the protests at US colleges have really built up as the week's gone on. We spoke yesterday about the events at Columbia University in New York, and that's really kicked things off at a number of other colleges, including a violent clash at UCLA in California.
So that's where pro-Palestinian protesters who were camping out at the university were attacked by pro-Israeli supporters. There were multiple injuries reported and 30 arrests made. And as you say, there have been plenty of other protests across the country. State troopers have dispersed hundreds of people at the University of Dallas and University of Arizona in the past day. And demonstrators began re-entering Columbia University in New York, even after they were ousted by riot police on Tuesday.
And we've touched briefly on what these protests are all about, but the top line is that the student protesters want a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. And they also want their colleges to cut financial ties with Israel.
That's right. So you might have noticed that several of the protests are happening at some of the US's most prestigious universities. That's notable because the students are pushing for their wealthy colleges to divest from any Israeli companies. Some of the colleges are negotiating with protesters. Brown University is one school where officials say they'll hold a vote on divestment if the protesters pack up and leave. But others are threatening expulsions and dismissals of anyone refusing to leave or who breaks college rules. And that's where the police are getting called in.
And these protests are also putting pressure on President Joe Biden, with pro-Israeli politicians saying they're concerned over potential links between the protests and a rise in anti-Semitism. And to that point, the US House of Representatives has also voted on the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act on Wednesday. It still needs to go to the Senate, but supporters say it would expand the definition of anti-Semitism and would combat any that could be happening at colleges across the country. Alleged murder victim Molly Ticehurst was farewelled by more than 1,000 people in the New South Wales central west town of Forbes yesterday. And Siobhan, her family is continuing to push for changes to New South Wales bail laws for offenders.
Yes, and it came at a pretty poignant moment as the federal and state governments are facing criticism for their so-called band-aid approach to Australia's national crisis of men's violence against women. Now, that criticism follows Wednesday's emergency national cabinet meeting, where a raft of measures costing about $1 billion were announced. But numerous advocates say it's still not enough.
Yeah, they say more needs to be done to deal with violent men before they act. PM Anthony Albanese has responded to the criticism. He says it's not job done. And he also said that governments are determined to take action. Siobhan, I've lost track of how many data breaches we've discussed over the years, but at least 16 clubs and pubs have been affected in the latest one, which happened yesterday. It's seen hundreds of thousands of people in New South Wales and the ACT told that they need to get new IDs.
Yes, so over 1 million records were leaked, including driver's licences, which of course include photos, names and addresses. And Clubs New South Wales has blamed the cybersecurity incident on an IT provider called Outerbox, which is used for those front-of-venue sign-in systems. Hospitality giant Merivale was also named, but it says its customers aren't implicated. In response, the New South Wales government is urging venues to notify the affected patrons as New South Wales police continue to investigate.
Yeah, and Siobhan, police say overnight a 46-year-old man from Sydney's Fairfield has been arrested. He's expected to be charged with blackmail today. Cybersecurity experts have also been scathing of the breach. They say it's a little bit Optus all over again. They've also criticised the amount of personal data collected by businesses that use your name, date of birth and address, which they say is all the information that a hacker needs to steal to become you. And just a quick note that if you're worried about your personal data potentially being leaked, we'll put a link in the episode notes that you can contact for support. A message now from our podcast partner, Uber. Busy parents, this one's for you. After a successful launch across Canada, the US and Latin America, Uber's bringing their teen ride service to Australia. What it does is it allows teenagers aged 13 and up to ride on their own with their parents' oversight. If you're curious how it works, we wanted to know too. Stay listening at the end of the podcast where we talk with Gab Vieira, a mum of four and someone who reckons this will be pretty handy in getting her kids from A to B. And just a quick note, Uber Teen is only available in the ACT, Tassie and South Australia for now, with plans to roll out to the rest of Australia this year. The Solomon Islands has a new PM. His name is Jeremiah Manele. And Siobhan, he's already playing the diplomat. He says Australia and China are equally important to the Solomons.
Yes, it was very tactful, Alice. So, squizzers might remember that national elections took place on the 17th of April, which was to elect MPs, but the PM was selected by elected representatives in a poll yesterday. Now, Manele is an ally of the former leader, Manasseh Sogavare, and was elected by Parliament with 31 to 18 votes, defeating opposition leader Matthew Wales. Manele used to be foreign minister in the previous government, and experts say that they expect that he's going to take a less confrontational approach to Australia that will definitely lower the temperature.
Yeah, that's because Sogavare caused a huge diplomatic stir by signing a security agreement with Beijing back in 2022. And while Manele says he'll be keeping that agreement in place, he's promised a foreign policy of friends to all, enemies to none. Airbnb has listed a new collection of places to stay that aim to fulfil the dreams of movie buffs. They've recreated some of the most iconic locations from our favourite films. For example, you can actually stay inside a full-scale replica of the house from Up, which we were looking at yesterday, Siobhan, and it looks pretty adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, it looks amazing, doesn't it? But just to note that while it does look like you're being lifted up by balloons, you'll actually be suspended in this house by a large crane overnight, which could be a bit swingy depending on the weather. Mm-hmm. If you're up for something a little bit more retro, you can also stay in the house from Prince's movie Purple Rain and go crazy for rare and special tracks in an exclusive studio session, which sounds pretty cool to me, Alice.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. And I'm also intrigued by the 2D version of the X-Men X-Mansion in New York that's designed to make you feel like you've just leapt onto the pages of the 1990s comic. That also sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. And I have to say, I'm just glad that they're not trying to recreate what it would be like to stay at the country estate in Saltburn.
Yeah, probably best not. Friday Light, Siobhan, what have you got for us this week?
So if you're staying in for a bit of online shopping this weekend, may I recommend the latest News Club interview with the Australian Financial Review's fashion editor, Lauren Sams. It's all about the rise of ultra-fast fashion, and she also gives Kate an update on her commitment to not buying new clothes for a whole year, which is a very honourable aim. Mm-hmm. And I know squizzers love a recipe, so if you're keen for one of those, make sure you sign up to our Squiz Today newsletter where you'll always find one each Friday. This week we have some apple cinnamon crumb muffins, which come highly recommended by our colleague Ellie.
Yeah, she says the crumble on top is really delicious. So if you want to have a crack at those, I'll pop the links to them in the episode notes. And thanks so much for listening this week. We'll be back with you on Monday. G'day, I'm Alice Dempster and I'm chatting with mum of four, Gab Vieira. She's here to talk to us about Uber Teen. It's a new service that means anyone over 13 can ride in an Uber alone. So there's a bit to unpick here, Gab. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you have four kids. How do you currently manage getting them from A to B?
Yeah, so I've got one teen out of the four, but I manage them by doing a very big juggle, juggling between myself, my husband, grandparents, and even calling on mum friends to try and pick her up when she needs to get somewhere and I just can't due to work.
That sounds a little bit stressful to manage.
Very, very, especially when she's quite eager to get somewhere and I just really can't get her there.
So when you heard Uber Teen was coming to Australia, I assume you thought that could potentially be a solution to getting her around. But like a lot of parents, you likely thought about the safety aspects of it. Can you absolutely. Walk me through that?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll be honest, when I first heard of it, I was like, probably not for me, just due to, like you said, safety concerns. But when the team walked me through all of the safety procedures that they actually have put into play, it definitely took my mind off it, and I wasn't really that concerned about the safety element anymore. Obviously, being a parent of only daughters, safety is a big thing for me. So just making sure that I know that she's in absolutely safe hands. But the safety features which I really liked the most was the fact that I can actually call the driver at any time and check in to see how she's going, and also that they do have audio recording in all of the Uber for Teens journeys that they do take, and neither the driver nor Lacey or my daughter or anyone can delete those. So if we ever do need to listen back on the conversations that were had in the car, they can do that with no qualm of it ever being deleted.
And a couple of the other safety features, I was doing some reading earlier. There's also live trip tracking to let parents know when their teens request a ride. There's PIN verification to make sure they're getting into the right car.
Exactly.
And there's also Ride Check, which uses GPS to track the car. Mm-hmm. How many of those have you actually used, Gab?
So we went through a journey with her the other day and we used all of them. So every journey has all of those measures in play. Another thing I really liked, which I didn't mention before, was that only like 5-star rated drivers are allowed to pick up Uber for teens, as well as having children, working for children with checks, and only having like the highest score possible to be able to pick up children within that age category. So yeah, I definitely liked that I have notifications come through when she's ordered the Uber, when the Uber's arrived, when she's been picked up, the fact that she has that PIN that she needs to match with the driver, and that I can track her journey as well as see when she's being dropped off. So lots of notifications along the way to keep my mind at ease.
And Uber also has a lot of resources available to help you have conversations with your kids about safety. How have you used those?
You know, safety is one thing that they kind of learn at school, and we talk about stranger danger as just being parents, but to really have those deep fundamental conversations about, you know, how do you really remain safe and look after yourself when she's alone, is not really something, because, you know, when I grew up, it's different to what is, you know, something that she needs to look out for now. So I liked that I was able to look onto the Uber website, have a look at what they recommend us talk about, the safety procedures, so that she also understands. Don't just get into any Uber. Your driver needs to have these PINs. This is how you're going to be tracked. So to be able to have, you know, the itemized list, not even a list, but like, you know, the outline of how it's structured and the conversations we should be having was really, really helpful. It just, because I'd be like, just be careful of this. And she'd be like, but I don't know, but it's good to be able to say in depth, this is really what you should be looking out for. So yeah, definitely a valuable resource to have.
Fantastic. And how has your daughter found it?
Yeah, she likes to have the independence. Like she likes to know that she has another option available to her now, but one that is also safe for her to use. You know, a perfect example, before I knew Uber for Teens was even available, I was at an event in the city and she decided she wanted to have a sleepover close to home, which was in the suburbs. And then all of a sudden she wasn't feeling well, and I was 2 hours away from being able to pick her up, and it was just the most stressful situation. Obviously, I had to call in on my mum, friends, and the grandparents lived too far away. So just to know that I could order that for her and know that she's safe to get her from A to B when I'm really stuck, it's a huge weight off my shoulders as a parent, knowing that if all else fails, or there is another option available to me that I know will get her from A to B if she needs to be.
Thanks for that, Gab. And just a quick note, Uber Teen is only available in the ACT, Tassie and South Australia for now, with plans to roll out to the rest of Australia this year. If you want to learn more, just search Uber for Teens.